Coming up this week in our big idea, if you are not playing music in your classroom, shame on you. Get with it, right? We're going to make a guarantee. In fact, K-Dub is going to guarantee that you're going to get some student engagement, and I'm going to dazzle you with some lights.
He is coming to you live from Bowling Green with the same energy of all four of his golden retrievers wrapped up in one human body. With 7 years of teaching math, 3 years working with Challenge Day, and tutoring one-on-one through it all, my best friend and an awesome teacher, T-Free.
Oh. And he's going to come live to you, coming from the soggy Pacific Northwest. He's got a whistle around his neck, 11 years of teaching social studies, 20 years of coaching football and soccer, my best bud and a fantastic teacher, K-Dub.
Thanks for listening to Little Things Are Big Things Education, brought to you by Peak State Mathematics. Don't forget to rate and review us. We'd love to hear from you at littlebiged.com. Give us the 5 stars. We are here for the grade inflation of the 2020s. So this week's big idea is how to use music intentionally and to make sure that you're using it to influence the energy and the behavior in your classroom. Tim, I know that this is something that I would be willing to label you as an expert on with the way that you are able to generate energy in the classroom with your music. What was the thing that started that for you? Like, what was it that caused you to even think about incorporating music into your classroom?
The two big ones that I was like, oh my gosh, like music is an absolute must in my class, is I wanted a way, because the first year I taught middle school, mm-hmm. and I had a lot of chaos, right? A lot of energy at the middle school level. Any mm-hmm. of our teachers listening right now, you probably know exactly what we're talking about, especially a sixth period on a sunny day towards summertime, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was almost like a necessity thing for me. I was like, I need to find a way that I am not constantly telling my students to like lower their volume. And so I actually used it as a way to set the volume of the classroom. And it was, if you can't hear the music, you're too loud, right? Like that was the classroom rule.
Those are the exact same words that I use when I first started using music in the classroom, was like the exact same thing. It was like, hey, if you can't hear the music, you're being too loud.
Right. That's pretty funny. I never had to yell anymore. I would just constantly like, hey, can you hear the music? And they're like, oh, and they would bring their volume down and match the music again. And like every once in a while, like I started to get a little bit more like masterful with it, if you will. Like I would know they're getting louder and I couldn't hear the music. So I would turn the music up to the point they could hear it. And then I would bring the volume of the music back down. And you can almost control the volume of the student that way, which it took me some while to figure that out. And it's very crafty. So it's not like the students know you're intentionally doing it. And it just, it helped me eliminate having to like constantly feel like I was scolding. So that was number one for me, was I set the volume of the room.
Okay. So that, like that little trick right there is why I said I would hazard to call you an expert, because I use music in my classroom every day and I've never done like the little crescendo to bring it back down trick before, but that is so brilliant. The other thing that really worked for me, like it just became like, I never felt authentic with the like snap or the clap if you can hear me, clap twice if you can hear me. Like that just didn't feel like me at all. It felt really forced when I tried to do that stuff. And I too started in middle school and loved the energy. And I always thought the great thing about teaching middle school kids is that the energy is there. It's just you've got to direct it so that learning is happening in a way that's exciting and fun for them, so that you can maintain that. And I actually really miss that about teaching middle school. It's why I focus on ninth graders so much, is that there's still some of that energy there. But the thing that I found really useful is that I could just cut the music and kids would turn and look. Even if we were a little bit too loud and they couldn't quite hear the music, they would know that like, okay, the music stopped and K-Dub's kind of standing awkwardly at the front of the classroom. It's time to like pay attention to what he has to say. We're transitioning.
Right.
So but it was really interesting hearing you say, if you can't hear the music, you're too loud, because that is something I used to say and or put on the board on a regular basis.
Love
when
it.
When I started it.
Yeah, great minds think alike. my second reason why I do it is in my own personal life, and I think, I don't know, 80, 90% of people that I've talked to, music is a huge part of their emotion, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's the reason why you cry during a movie or a TV show a lot of times, right? Is it's the music. It's why I will turn the channel when the dog pound, you know, TV show advertisement pops up.
I'm like, PCA.
Sarah McLachlan, get out of my head. You're making me cry. I want to go adopt all the dogs. I already have four, right? Like music has just such this way to like rip at our souls and like influence our emotion. And so not only on like the make you have like dip into the feels, I think it also can bring your energy like right up. And mm-hmm. so for me, like I use music to start my class as a, like when you walk into my room, like it's always something more high energy, upbeat, because mm-hmm. I don't care what you just came from, whether it's you just got here first thing in the morning and you had a rough morning at home or a crappy night the night before, or you haven't slept, like I'm going to pump an extra piece of energy into you because mm-hmm. I want you to know you're in my classroom and it's going to be different right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big believer in shifting people's like state based on music.
Well, it's really interesting you say that, because one of the things that I noticed about myself, this is not related to the classroom in any way, shape, or form, is that up until I was like 30, I would always listen to music that reflected the mood I was in, and it would like deepen that mood, right? So like if I'm having a crappy day, probably I'm listening to Metallica or something, because I'm gonna get into depth with that, like that sense of like frustration and anger. Or if I'm feeling really good, right, like I'm gonna turn on something poppy and something fun to sing along to that's like that. And so as I got a little bit more mature, I realized like, hey, instead of like playing music that's going to like harden the energy that's negative, like maybe try and redirect the energy a little bit. So it's interesting that you say that. With like the intentionality that you use it for your walk-in music when students come into the classroom. I think for me, one of the big things that I found, and I think we're going to talk about this a little bit later in terms of the controversy of whether or not to let students listen to their own music with their headphones on their cell phones later on. But I was doing that pretty early on in class. It just felt like without going on a huge tangent, like, I didn't want to be the person that said like cell phones are evil. You can't have them. You should never see it during school. It's like, how can we use this device that you're attached to in a way that's acceptable? Right. And kids were like, that was the thing that was so easy, was like listening to music. And then I thought back to my own teen years and how formative music was to that experience. And for me, right, the whole basis of this podcast is relationships and community. And I was like, instead of having these 35 kids listening to music in isolation, let's build some community around the music that we all enjoy and play songs that we can all listen to. And so one of the things I do in my class is I have a playlist for each class that's based on student requests. And it is so much fun to see kids, like when their song comes on that they really like and how energized they get by it, and or like the conversations that pop up between kids about music choices. I mean, every once in a while, as you can imagine, there's a, that song sucks or whatever, and somebody's feelings are at risk of getting hurt. But just like that, it creates a sense of community, right? Because it's a shared experience of we're listening to these things that we enjoy.
Right, right, for sure. And I'm sure that you have done a great job of setting your classroom up so that even when you get the, oh, this song sucks, it comes at a space that it's received without a fist fight. And so, I mean, more of a play fight, and you're able to probably redirect that. But I think, yeah, it's a great way to be like, you know, like this is part of me, or like, this is why I like it. You know, starting to hear some stories behind it and create that conversation. I love that. So do you ever use music, like as part of a project?
So one thing that I do pretty consistently, when I'm using student choice for how to communicate a learning or something like that, I will always make an option to have like a music option. Like if a kid wants to write a song or create a piece of music about what we're learning about, like that's an option versus a video or a slideshow or doing an essay, right? Like I like to give student choice in that arena. So that's one place that I do it. And then, like as a history teacher, there are so many It's not quite as rich as English, but almost, right? There are so many opportunities to include music as a way to frame the conversation that we're having. One thing that I did for a really long time, I don't teach U.S. history anymore, but when I was teaching U.S. history, we used to play three different songs that had like a very different perspective on what it meant to be an American. And like have the kids, like we listened to each song twice. The kids had the lyrics out to listen to, and we were kind of dissecting like where all that was coming from. And we use other things of that nature in class at least once or twice a year for like a specific lesson or like a piece like that. And then a long time ago when I did U.S. history, we did a whole unit on the Harlem Renaissance and then like talked about cultural appropriation and like blues music and rap and things of that nature. But how about you with math?
With math, I mostly just use it as like a background kind of thing when we're into like work mode. Actually this is something I would call it. It was like a classroom norm. I'd call it cruising altitude, right? You were talking about this idea of like allowing students to use their electronic devices and things like that. And I do think that it's much more effective when you have times that it's appropriate to do it and other times when it's not, whether it's, you know, they're working on an assignment on the computer. Sometimes you still need them to shut the lid so they can focus on what you're actually saying up at the board. Right. Mm-hmm. Or it's throwing their headphones in, listen to their own music. And so I called it cruising altitude because I loved to travel. And every time I'm on an airplane, you got to take all electronic devices and tuck them away until we've reached cruising altitude and it's okay to use. So I'm like, all right, we've reached cruising altitude. It's now appropriate to pull out your personal electronic devices. Feel free to move about the cabin and good luck, right? You know, so like I made it into this kind of this fun, like we're jumping on an airplane and we've reached cruising altitude where they're free to like, you know, they can go to the restroom at this point. They can put their headphones in and listen to their own music at this point. They can start working on the homework assignment and pull open their laptops and start going at it. So that's usually what I do. And again, it's just a fun, goofy way of doing it.
That is really hilarious. I love that. One of the things that I do similar, so I do something similar with like independent work time. I'm not clever enough to call it cruising altitude and have all the obvious connections that are there now that you mentioned them. But like I do have a couple of activities that I do in class, like lessons that we come back to all the time where I involve music. So the two most common I do with, I'm sure other teachers have done this. I call it a gallery walk where I usually do it as like an intro to a unit. I'll put up like 8 or 12 pictures like taped up on the wall around the classroom and give like the kids a little thing to fill out or sticky notes to put on them. And they're going to go around and look, but to kind of force them to make sure that they're spending time at each image, I'll play music when it's okay to rotate and then cut the music when it's time to like stop and talk about the image with the group that they're working with or to write whatever they need to write. And then another one that I use, and I actually use two different play soundtracks for this. It can get a little bit difficult to manage depending on the technology advancement of the building that you're in. But the school that I'm at now, like we're not super advanced. So I literally have to have like my phone has one song playlist on it on. And then I have like my YouTube music channel on the desktop and I'll have to like switch the speaker, like cut over, like to switch things up. But so what I do, it's called round robin reading. And for me, like one of the things I learned, like side tangent again, is that there's a huge difference for kids. If I give you like 8 pages double-sided to read and just say, you've got 45 minutes to read and fill out this graphic organizer, go for it. Like a lot of kids are going to tune out. They're going to get bored. They're going to like, the stamina is not there. So I do this thing round robin reading where oftentimes my classroom is set up in groups of 8 or 8 groups of 4 or 5. And so I'll have a different reading at each place. Like we do it a lot for like biographies of people from the unit that we're looking at. And then it's like, okay, you're at station 1. We've got like, I call it library music playing in the background when it's time to read. And then I give everyone like, okay, time's up. Go ahead and start filling out your graphic organizer, get ready to rotate. And then when it's time to rotate, I play high energy music so that they know it's okay to talk and have a little bit of fun as they go to the next table group. And it's a really great, like just like 30-second brain break. in between readings, but the music really like changes the tone, right? Because like we will literally go from like EDM, like Daft Punk, right? Like the highest energy, like full electro mode you can go. And then we're like listening to Beethoven. And so it's like, it's just like this back and forth of jimmying the energy for that particular. And we do that, you know, I'll do that once a month or more.
Love it. I'm going to throw you a quick technology tip because I feel like a lot of teachers are probably in a similar space with you where you feel like you've got to switch the headphone jack basically, right?
Yeah.
Here's my trick. You're going to grab a Chrome tab or whatever browser you use, split screen it to half, split screen a second one, open up YouTube Music or whatever you're playing your music from on both tabs, load two different songs. You can even do it at two different volumes. And then you literally just have to hit play, pause, play. Literally.
So here's my question with that. Have you done that with YouTube Music?
I have. Okay. Actually, honestly, I DJ that way. Okay. When I know that I'm working with some music that's not necessarily inside my virtual DJ subscription pack, which, you know, has a lot more of the high energy dance stuff. So like when I'm doing like pre-ceremony stuff and I'm using maybe more acoustic violin kind of stuff, I also have the YouTube Music Pass. And so I will pull up two YouTube windows with, and I will play two different songs from two different windows, and it usually works just fine.
Sweet. Cause like, so I don't have it anymore cause I shut it down, but Google used to have Google Play Music.
Right.
And you couldn't do that.
Oh.
You couldn't have it. Like you couldn't have two different playlists open at the same time and toggle back and forth without like it would, the other screen would switch.
Oh.
And like the technology problem at my school, right, is like, we didn't have two jacks for the speakers. Right. Like I had to unplug from my desktop and plug into my phone. So I like that idea for that. But yeah, it's good to know that YouTube will let me do that because that will make my life a little bit easier.
Yeah. And even if you don't have like a paid subscription, which Google Play basically got replaced by YouTube Music, which is, I mean, I don't get paid by them, but I like their service. I basically have access to any song on YouTube. But I know that if you, even if you just have two YouTube pages up, you might have like the ads and stuff. So like you got to like strategically kind of like keep the volume off while you play through the ad. Like, and the students don't realize you're doing like playing through the ad, but then you'll be able to set up ready to play the actual song when you need it. So that's just a little tip trick on playing some music and trying to do like legit, like blending of music and kind of going like a little more DJ vibe on it.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah. Perfect. The other one I wanted to talk about with music, because I don't know, for me personally, like music is a must, right? Like if you're not playing music, like you're missing out. Like you really are. I think for me personally, just like we've talked about, is like music controls our emotions so much. And you were speaking to the idea that a lot of times when we are in a certain mood, we listen to the mood that heightens that mood. Mm-hmm. And the opposite has become true, that we've started to find balance, or we can control our own energy with selective music. And so for me, honestly, I play music in a very selfish way now. Like when I come to school on Monday morning and it's 7:50 in the morning and my first group of students are starting to show up and they're dragging, so I can't feed off their energy because they've got none, right? Like I've got to be the one that like creates the energy and brings the joy to the hallway, right? Like I'm going to crank it to something that I know puts me in a good state. And I swear to you, it works better than a second cup of coffee, man. Like you get that music going, you get the energy flowing, and like I'm on a different level because I chose music that puts me there, and then I can bring the students with me, or at least attempt to influence them to come with me.
That's awesome. And actually that's something I need to reflect on a little bit, because I, you know, we talked about it in our connections episode earlier in the week where like I've got like Mellow Monday for like that very reason of like, hey, we're not ready for the energy. But to your point, like that, you're right. Like, yeah, we're not ready for it, but we need it. So we might as well import it with the, maybe I'll switch from Mellow Monday to Manic Monday and bring out some louder stuff. I know one thing that you do that sounded awesome, and you were just like, it came up in a conversation that we were having about life at school. You've got like a cart with like a DJ, like you've got like a strobe light and stuff or something going on.
Right? Oh, yeah. That's gonna be I think part of my bigger story time. But one of the things that's really fun about that, and I had this in my classroom before I built the cart, is I actually, because I'm a DJ and I love bringing that energy. One of the other things I do is I have like those little tiny disco ball lights, and like I've got bigger ones and stuff I can bring in too, but they've got these little tiny ones where you buy the twin pack for like $20 and then you can buy a remote control, like surge protector kind of a thing, right? Like a remote controlled on off. And I plug in these two disco ball lights that are underneath my main board, or now it's on my wheelie cart. But I plug them in. And then when the students come up onto the board and they do their work, sometimes it's not always easy for me to do music right away, but what I've found is really fun and easy to do is when they get the answer correct, or they finish doing the problem, no matter how long it took, especially if they struggled and they really like worked at it, I disco ball light them and we celebrate them. We're like, oh, and like discos are like flashing in the background. And like the first couple times they're like, are you serious? Right. But it's just fun. And they look forward to it. Like it makes the board not so scary, because they know eventually they're going to get enough support that they get the disco ball lights.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. I can totally see that as being like, first of all, like going back to both of us having taught in middle school, right? Like middle school kids are going to buy into that like a quarter of a second into the disco lights turning on. Yeah. High school kids want to, the term I use, maybe it's unfair to them, is like they want to pretend that they're too cool for that. But right. If you just keep pressing it and keep like refusing to give in to their grumpiness, they want to have fun too, right? You just have to like, once everybody in the classroom has recognized that this is the energy in the space, when you're in T-Freeze classroom, you're right. Going to celebrate when someone gets a problem right on the board. There's going to be disco lights going off. Right. And I think music plays into that too, right? Like I think it sets the tone for like, this is a different space. This doesn't have to be like every other space. And one of the things that I found that's kind of along those same lines is that I've been in three different buildings now in the last 8 years. It's funny to watch other teachers on your hallway and eventually in your school start to play dueling pianos essentially in the hallway with music during passing time and things like that. Because like, it's something that like the love of music is so, I don't want to say universal, but it's very nearly universal, right? And so when other people hear it, they're like, well, I like music. I should play music during passing period. Right. And so you get this sense, like I know at the first school that I taught at, which was our alma mater, right? Kenyon Park Junior High, yeah. Another teacher that I worked with, shout out to Casey Kellogg, wherever he's at right now. Like him and I like literally would compete to see who could have the playlist that the kids liked the best. And kids would be like talking about who had the coolest playlist for things. And it was just like, it was one of those things where it really is infectious and you can start to see that happening. And it's really the same with the connection activity that we talked about. Like when I first got to the school I'm at now, there was rarely another teacher standing outside of their classroom at the beginning of class. And now most of the teachers in our hallway do it every once in a while. Or what's really fun sometimes is that there's a group of us at my door, right? There'll be like three or four of us at my right. door saying hi to kids as they're walking through the hallway and coming into my class because we share so many students. So like these things can be infectious just like the energy in your classroom can be, right? And it makes, 100%. As I'm assuming we'll get to in your story time, right? It makes school more fun as a teacher to have that take place. The last thing that I wanted to talk about with the idea of using music in the classroom, right? The purpose of this podcast is to talk about developing relationships with our kids.
Right.
And I think the music does that in two ways. Number one, like I just said, it's a different energy in our room. Right? Like our room is just different than a lot of other classrooms.
Yes.
Just that alone, like the music is there, that makes it different. And then I think the added element, I don't know how much of this you do, but I know like with me, the amount of student choice that is involved in the music that's being played in our classroom, right? Like there are kids who are like, I know, even though I didn't request it on my note card back in September, if I send K-Dub an email or mention to him in passing, we should listen to Nirvana this week. Like the next time that kid's in class, even if it's not the theme for the day, like right. Teen Spirit is going to be playing when I walk into the classroom, or right. It'll be playing during work time. And so it creates this sense of ownership for the students in the room, but it also is such a great thing of conversation, right? Because kids I would challenge any teacher who's listening to this podcast, if you're not already playing music in your classroom, start playing music in your classroom. And I would be willing to go as far as guaranteeing that a minimum of 2 students per class period will connect with you about the music that you're playing.
Right.
They will either ask you to play something, or they'll be excited that you played something. Right. Like, I played Billie Eilish a couple of years ago in class, like right before she was getting super popular. Yep. And because a student recommended it to me, and like immediately had kids like, who is this? And, or, I can't believe you're playing Billie Eilish. This is awesome.
Right.
So I guarantee that you can spark some connection and conversation with your students by including your classroom.
Right. And I mean, I had a similar experience 2 days ago this week. I had students that, you know, they're typically listening to music that I don't normally play. And they finally had the courage to be like, yo, Freeberg, why don't you ever play this? I'm like, I mean, I don't know that genre real well. Give me a couple of you know, songs. And I was like, I need to find a clean edit of some of the stuff they recommend. Right. But, you know, we ended up finding some of their music, and I found a clean enough version that I was like, okay, like even with the words cut out, you know, it's not still highly inappropriate. So, okay, this one I can sneak in there, and I sneak it in, and they're like, oh, he did it. You know? And like for the next, you know, it's been 2-3 days since I played that song, and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you played that. Like, that's so much fun. Like, thank you so much. You know? And they're like, what are you going to play tomorrow? You know? And like, they get in it. And I've said this before too, and I still believe it. Like, my students want to come to my class because it's fun, and they accidentally learn. I mean, I'm very intentional about what I'm trying to teach them, and I'm very intentional about trying to make sure they are engaged in learning. Mm-hmm. But some of my students that are very resistant and don't want to be in a math class show up because it's fun, and they accidentally learn. And then they get a touch of success, and they're like, oh, I guess I can do this, right? And a lot of that comes down to building the connection with the kids and playing music. So, yeah, if you're not playing music, play music.
Yeah, get your teaching life together. Hey guys, quick interruption as we're talking about music here. Tim has a great free resource on how to get a song request form done for your students at littlebiged.com. And I also included a example of the conversation calendars that we talked about a few weeks back is also available on littlebiged.com with our free resources.
And while you're there, if you want even more resources, please think about joining our Teacher Vault, which is our private membership. It gives you access to not only our live monthly, where we go live with you and teach you some of those latest researches on connection with the students in your classroom, but also gives you like legit lesson plans. Like, you can actually jump in there and grab some of my geometry lessons that are in there. So we'd encourage you to jump in and be a part of that, both free resources as well as our private membership. So thank you. Right. All right. I'm gonna knock out this story because I'm like antsy to share it because like we talked and danced around it. But yes, this disco cart that I have created. So we just moved into a new building at our high school, and it was designed with that collaboration mindset, right? Where like teachers are going to have a workstation, and then they're going to move from classroom to classroom. You're going to be able to like unfold walls, like all that kind of stuff, right? Like, they really want us working together. Well, in the process of that, we all got multiple classrooms and to teach in. Like, every single teacher had at least 2 classrooms they were going to teach at least one of their classes in. And in the process of that, we all got this rolling cart, like a rolling podium, so to speak. And I was like, I need music. Like, I need it, right? And for all the reasons we've talked about. And so my students anticipate my room to have disco ball lights. They anticipate it to have music. They anticipate it to be like a good time. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, how do I create that when I'm in, and I was scheduled for 3 different rooms. And then I, you know, was talked with one of these other teachers who is very resistant to change and was like, you know, hey, you're already moving rooms anyways. What if I just stay in this room and you find a different room? You know, because they didn't want to travel. I was like, yeah. I don't mind. So I'm in 4 rooms for 5 classes. Jeez. And so I took full advantage of this with my rolly cart, and I figured, how do I make music happen on my rolly cart? For less than $100, I went and bought one of those like car jumping battery packs that's rechargeable. And I bought two of my little disco ball lights with the remote control that I was talking about. And I got an Alexa Echo, right? And so, and I turned off Alexa because my students say, "Hey, Alexa," because they want to mess with her. So turn her off so she doesn't listen. But so my cart now, when I roll, oh, and then my wife gave me this beautiful add-on. She gave those roll-out tape LED lights that you can like tape lights on. Mm-hmm. She gave me like, I don't know, it was like 12 feet or 16 feet of these LED lights. And so my cart has LED lights taped around it. It has two disco ball lights on it, and it has an Amazon Echo underneath it. And when I roll from class to class through the hallways, because I have to go from one place to the next, I am blasting whatever song I'm playing. I'm full volume with the disco ball lights going as I'm rolling through the hallways. And you want to talk about teachers coming out into the hallway and changing the atmosphere of a classroom and a school? Like, game changer, dude. Like, I get the adults coming out, and I'll play music for them every once in a while. Like, we were playing New Kids on the Block, and I had some of our teachers dancing. I'll do it when the students aren't even there, right? Like, we didn't have students on Friday, and I still showed up at 8:24, and when that 8:25 bell rang, not a single student in the hallways, I dropped some Usher, yeah, and you should have seen everybody losing their mind like we were back in a middle school dance, right? Like, it was so much fun. So, yeah, music is a must. And if you feel like you're not in a position where you can make it happen, I'm telling you, you just got to be creative. Like, you've got to think outside the box and make it happen. Like, you've got to have it. It brings such a different energy to the game. It allows me to meet with my students at the door, like Dave talked about in our connection activity. It allows me to let the students play DJ. Like, legit, I'll let them take over my phone sometimes, like with my YouTube music app open, and they'll pick whatever song they want. And again, I've got it with some auto filters on it, and I'm obviously like aware of some of the inappropriate choices. But yeah. I'll sit with the disco ball lights, and they'll be like, "Yo, what up, Joe?" Or like, "Yo, hey, what's up?" You know, and they'll like heckle at each other in the hallways, and it's so much fun. Or students are walking with their headphones in, and like while I'm out with my wheelie cart, like I start doing like dance moves around them. Like, I'll spin around them with my disco ball cart. I'll get the teachers to come out and dance with me. I had my principal dancing with me the other week. Like, it's so much fun. So if you can put music in your classroom, I think that is a bare minimum. If you can put music in your hallways, that's my challenge.
That is fantastic. I think the thing that, for those of you who don't know Tim, I can't think of a better intro to Tim than that story. But the thing that I'm most impressed by with that is like, it would be so easy for you to be nervous about disrupting other people and not feeling right. comfortable to do that and not letting yourself be yourself. And so I think, like, in addition to all of the cool things that you just talked about, how much fun all of that sounds like, talk about, I don't want to call it your freak flag, but right, like just letting your flag fly. Like, this is who I am. I'm perfectly comfortable in my own skin. I'm gonna be me.
Right.
Like, that in and of itself, right, gives everybody in that school that same permission. There's at least a moment every day when every kid and every person in the building is seeing that it's okay to just be yourself.
Right. And we touched on connection with kids through vulnerability. Like, what better way to be 100% you and unapologetically you than to like just go full out?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and also, what a great way. Like, again, I know it's not the topic of the podcast, but like to take something that, like, I know I would be super unhappy to have to be in four different classrooms because like there's so much about like what goes up in my classroom that is like a part of who I am and like setting the stage for things in my classroom. But to be able to take something that I think 90% of teachers would think of as like a terrible thing, I have to move classrooms every period,
right,
and to turn that into something that has not only been a positive for you, but also like a game changer for your school and has like changed the vibe of your school is really a great example on your part of like, again, being positive, right? Like, and like that same idea of using the music to change the energy, right? Like, you could have been frustrated and listened to, you know, some angry music on your headphones and been pouting about the fact that you had to move, but instead you used happy music to make everybody as excited as you were to be listening to music during passing time. That's great. And,
I mean, it's so funny too, because like it is contagious. Like we've talked about, like the teachers are like, "Whoa, where were you yesterday morning?" I'm like, "I'm so sorry. Like I was going and getting like my first round of the COVID vaccine." Right. And they're like, "You weren't playing music at 8:25. I'm like, "Did you pick it up for me? Like my rolly cart was in the teacher workstation. Go take it, you know?" But yeah, I mean, it's something to grow to expect. It becomes part of the culture. And even like the teachers that are like a little less excited about my noise pollution, let's call it. he actually becomes fun. It was so funny. He came up to me one day and he slaps a little post-it note on my Chromebook screen, and it just says, "Next time you play country music, let me know so I can call in sick." I was laughing so hard. So then, you know, of course I play with it, and so like I go down to his classroom. Like at the end of the day, I'm like, "You better call in sick tomorrow." And I start playing, you know, some like Zach Brown Band or something. And just, it's just, it's so much fun. I love it. So,
that's great.
Barvet. Well, we appreciate y'all joining us. Again, get some music in your classrooms, have some fun with it. And yeah, we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Absolutely. Make it a great day.
All right, everybody, we got a special bonus for you this week. It's music week, and we've already talked about the importance of having music in our classrooms, and we're going to demonstrate exactly how we would do that in our classrooms.
Yeah, well, you think it's important to model, as we talked about in a previous episode, and we've also talked about how much relationships and connection are important to us, and we want to connect and develop relationships with our listeners as well. So we've got a couple of prompts that we would like you to respond to us with, either in the YouTube comment section or at littlebiged.com. You could also use our Facebook page if you are more comfortable in that format. Our first prompt that we would like you to write about while you're listening to this music is, why is teaching important to you, and or thinking about the conversation from last week, what do you think the purpose of education is? And then our second prompt, the last thing we want from you is just to share some funny stories. We've been sharing some of the stories that give us joy and make us have some fond memories of our time as teaching in the classroom, and we would love to hear some from you guys as well. So just feel free to share a funny story or something from your teaching experience that reminds you of why you're in the biz.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate you taking a moment to do some reflective work, do some sharing with us, and participating in our activity. And we hope you have enjoyed this bonus here. And we'll see you next week. Have a great one.
Make it a great day.